The question that I put out to you this morning is with regards to zina and the increase of zina within our own communities. And what I'm saying is that there seems to be an increase, a spiral in with regards to fornication and adultery. That is amongst married people and non-married people. Why is this the case and how do we put a stop to it? Let us reflect on the Islamic position with regards to zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in Surah Al-Furqan, when He speaks about His servants, the true servants, the Ibadur Rahman, and He says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. And those who do not call out together with Allah to any other deities, ascribe partners with Allah, and they do not kill any soul that Allah has prohibited except with true right, whether if it's qisas or anything like that. Wala yaznun, and they do not commit zina. And those who commit zina, yudhaf lahu al-adhabu yawm al-qiyamah. Those who commit these three sins, shirk, qatlu nafs, killing an innocent person, or committing zina, Allah says this, their punishment will be multiplied on the day of Qiyamah, and they will remain in a disgraceful position. Speaking of zina, and highlighting the negative aspects in that regard. Then in another way, Allah speaks about zina in the opening verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun, in which He says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that My servants, the true servants of Allah, are those whom they protect their private organs, except from their wives or their slave girls, that there is no rebuke for them. And whoever seeks a path other than that, then this person has violated. This person has gone astray. This person has erred off the path. So that is with regards to the issue of zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً. Do not go close to zina. It is immodest. It is immoral. And a very wretched part. So the verses that I've quoted in front of you, from Surah Al-Furqan, from Surah Al-Mu'minun, from Surah Al-Isra, beginning with the first one, from Surah Al-Furqan, that verse speaks about the Ibadur Rahman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about their quality, that they are not from those who commit zina. Because zina is amongst the gravest of sins after ascribing partners with Allah. Allah has joined it with shirk and qatlun nafs. Because in zina, what happens? Destroying of the lineage, violating the prohibitions, it creates animosity, it creates enmity. It destroys the lives of women, of children, of the women, of wives. And in that, it leads to the entire destruction and corruption on earth. A zani, a person who commits zina, who is married, is amongst those people whose blood has been made halal by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that the punishment of zina of a married person is death. Let us just reflect on this point, that are you committing such a crime which is punishable by death? لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله إلا بإحدى ثلاث. The blood of a Muslim does not become permissible. A Muslim is one who bears testimony to the kalima la ilaha illallah, except in three situations. A thayyibu zani, a married person who commits zina. Wa nafsu bin nafs, a person who killed another person. Wa tariku li dinihi, al mufariqu lil jama'a, and the one who abandons the deen of Islam. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned that your blood will become permissible if you commit zina. لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. That when you commit zina, you are no longer a mu'min. لا يزني الزاني. The zani does not commit zina while being a Muslim. This action is totally contradictory to the dictates of your iman. In a narration by Imam Abu Dawood in his Sunan, and this narration is from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhum, and he states that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا زَنَ الرَّجُلُ خَرَجَ مِنْهُ الْإِيمَانِ فَكَانَكْ عَلَيْهِ كَذُلَّتِ. That when a person commits zina, then the iman leaves that person's body and hovers above his or her head like a cloud. فَإِذَا انْقَطَعَ رَجَعَ إِلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانِ. And when he or she completes the action of zina, then what happens? The iman returns. Zina is such a wretched action that a person's iman leaves the body. How dare we commit such vile actions? May Allah save us. In a narration of Sahih al-Bukhari, and this hadith is a lengthy one, which speaks about the fact that جَاءَ جِبْرِيلُ وَمِيكَائِيلُ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That both Jibreel and Mikael came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then it further goes on, which speaks about فَانْتَلَقْنَا فَأَتَيْنَا عَلَى مِثْلِ التَّنُّورِ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that we continued our journey, and this is the journey of Mi'raj. He says, we came across فَإِذَا فِيهِ لَغَةٌ وَأَصْوَاتٌ. There was noise coming from this oven. When we looked in it, there were men and women who were nude, were naked. فَإِذَا هُمْ يَأْتِيهِمْ لَهَبٌ مِنْ أَسْفَلِ مِنْهُمْ فَإِذَا أَتَاهُمْ ذَلِكَ اللَّهَبُ ذَوْضَوْ. There was a flame that was coming from the top, that was pushing them to the top, and they were being punished in this way. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked Jibreel, who are these people? Who are these people who are being punished in such an intense manner? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told, Man, he was told, Ha'ula is zunatu, zunatu wazawini. These are the adulterers and the adulteresses. These are the ones who committed adultery. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken the pledge of allegiance from his companions. And amongst what he had taken as a pledge was that They would not commit any immorality. They would not commit vile acts, immoral acts. بَايَعُونِي. Nabi Salaam said, أَلَا أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا تُسْرِقُوا وَلَا تَزْنُوا. That you pledge allegiance, that not ascribe partners with Allah, and that you not steal, and that you do not commit zina. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahumullah says, that I do not know, وَلَا أَعْلَمُ بَعْدَ قَتْلِ النَّفْسِ ذَنْبًا. I do not know of any sin, أَعْظَمَ مِنَ الزِّنَا, that is greater than zina. After killing a person, there is no sin that is greater than zina. Imam Mundhiri rahimahullah says, صَحَ أَنَّ مُدْمِنَ الْخَمْرِ إِذَا مَاتَ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ كَعَابِدِ الْوَثَنِ. It is correctly narrated that the person who is accustomed to consuming alcohol, when this person dies, this person will meet Allah like an idol worshipper. وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ الزِّنَا أَشَدّ. And there's no doubt that adultery and zina is worse than that. وَآذَمَ مِنْ شُرْبِ الْخَمْرِ. That is worse than consuming alcohol. So can you imagine what will be the condition of the person that consumes, that commits zina when that person meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are various reasons and various things that lead to zina. What I'd like to do when we come back from the break, I'd like to outline a number of points, 6 or 7 points that lead to zina. We continue after the break. We continue our discussion with regards to zina, adultery, fornication. And we've been talking about the fact that it's on the increase amongst married and non-married people. We're asking you, what is the reasons behind this and how do we put a stop to it? Now, to add further credibility to the discussion, I'm bringing into the studio Mulana Habib Babat, who together with his presenting and teaching, he also does marriage counseling. And he's dealt with a number of cases. I know it's more than 20 or 30 cases over the last 2 or 3 years. And one of the common factors that have come up in many of these cases is either it's the husband or even the wife that is cheating. So that is a direct indication that zina is on the increase within our community. Well, what has been your observation in this regard?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Muftis, have a very interesting discussion and jazakumullah for bringing me on. Zina is on the increase because zina is easier nowadays. Previously, if you look at the setup before World War II and World War I, the predominant makeup of the workforce or the workplace was men working with men. But now the scenario has changed. We are working with the opposite gender and we are coming into more contact with them. And as a result, you find that zina has become much more easier as opposed to what it was previously. You find the biggest thing nowadays, Mufti Sahib, is cyber infidelity. So that's the another discussion on its own, that many people are having affairs over the net, like you have Ashley Madison last year that came out into the public arena with over 35 million subscribers to it. Life is short, have an affair and subscribe. So those kind of sites have been in existence for a while. So zina has become much more easier as compared to before. Now, obviously, when something is increasing, you need the mechanisms to counter that disease. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already kept that in His Sharia by reciting the verses of taqwa when we are getting married to remind us that, oh husband, you are going to be in the corporate world. There's no one, as in no one, that's going to see you except you and yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the husband is doing something behind the wife's back, the wife won't know about it, but Allah knows about it. Likewise, the wife is working in another corporate world. And you mentioned I've been handling cases, and most of them were from the corporate world, because of the exposure of the radio. I get mostly people coming from the corporate world, and it's both men and women speaking that, okay, look, Marana, I'm an open thinker, I'm broad-minded, I accept the challenges, blah, blah, blah. But it's just the insecurity that I have, and X, Y, and Z. So the corporate world comes with its own challenges. And the only element that can keep you on your toes and keep you on your guard is the element of taqwa. That the person tells himself, look, my wife is not watching me, my husband is not watching me, the people around me are not aware, but Allah is aware. Allah knows what I'm doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all seeing and all hearing. So if a person wants to get into that frenzy, let's look at the example of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and the wife of the minister. He's trapped in the room, and that's also the corporate setup. She's enticing him and seducing him, but he's refusing. On what grounds? On the grounds of taqwa, he restrained and he got hold of himself that, no, my Allah is watching me. And because of my master and my creator, I cannot do certain things. So if there's any element, Mufti Sahib, that can regulate any marriage today, and that is the element of taqwa. And likewise, the absence of it will just destroy all the boundaries, Mufti Sahib.
What about the fact that, you know, there is a system where someone had stolen in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said, it's my first time. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, never. Allah doesn't catch you, take you to task in the first time. It must be more than 3 times. So people do it behind the backs, but eventually it gets exposed?
Yes, it does get exposed. And then I must tell you, Mufti Saab, also many people have mended their relationships even after such pitfalls. Alhamdulillah, they have seen the bigger picture. It's enticing, Mufti Saab. Each gender is a weakness of the opposite gender. So, An-Nisa wa Habailu Shaitan, the hadith states that women are the weakness of men. But the purport of this hadith is not to single out any gender. The opposite of this hadith is also true, that men are the weaknesses of women and women are the weaknesses of men. So, naturally, when there's a fire, you're either going to get burned or either you're going to feel the heat. You can't deny either of the two. It's either you're going to feel the heat or you're going to get burned. Now, depending on your upbringing and depending on the mechanism that you have within you, you will be either able to protect yourself or you'll get burned. So the fact of the matter is that you rightfully say that you will not be caught on the first time. It will be a trail or a long-standing history, and then eventually someday you'll get caught. But the sad part, Mufti Saab, is that there's no regret, no remorse, even after being caught. And they tend to blame each other. You know, it's because of you. It's because of you I ended up here. So one is committing the crime, and then after that to be boastful about it. That's even more shameful. And people have gone that route to actually say that there's nothing wrong. What am I doing wrong? It's all because of you. You never pay attention to my needs or whatever the case is. So many times the opposite person is taking the blame for somebody else's actions.
And another point is that very often we find that people regret getting caught, but never regret the sin itself.
Exactly.
That, you know, they think, ah, if I was just more careful, I shouldn't have paid with my credit card for the flowers, or, you know, I should have been more careful to hide the tracks, and I should have given that excuse beforehand. So they're actually regretting being caught, but not the action.
Yes, true. And then also, Mufti Saab, we must look at the scenarios of people getting married nowadays. If a person was in the habit of dating for 10, 12 years, he has a commitment problem. And I tell this to youngsters that I teach, girls and boys, I said, look, you guys are changing partners every month, literally. No, Mulana, I'm dating this one, I'm dating that one, that one, that one. So I tell them, you are dating so many people in such short periods, you're going to have a problem when you get married. So at the moment you are dating, you're not married, you don't like the person, okay, let's try the next one and the next one. But once you're married, you can't. You are tied till the end. You can't say, okay, I'll have this one. Now I don't like this one, so I'll hop to the next one. It doesn't work like that in nikah. So many people, Mufti Saab, they find it difficult to change overnight. How do you undo the habit which you had for the past 10 to 15 years? You were dating and dating so many people, and simultaneously also, how do you then get rid of that habit overnight? Is it possible?
Well, perhaps you can, you know, as an eye-opener, share incident without giving too much details or names or anything, but from your experience over the years, something that you found from some of the scenarios that you've come across.
Well, I'll reiterate what I said in the starting, and that is the element of taqwa. And I strongly believe taqwa is not just about salah and all that, but taqwa is also regulating our other matters of life, like marriage. So I will say, Mufti Saab, that when a person doesn't have the fear of Allah in his life, and what is taqwa? Let me just simplify the essence of taqwa. Taqwa basically means that I can't do anything wrong because my Creator is watching me. And if a person has this consciousness in his life, then the wife can rest assured that the husband will not do anything wrong. And likewise, the husband can rest assured that the wife will not do anything wrong. Because it's not the husband regulating the marriage. It's not the wife that's regulating the marriage. It's Allah that's regulating the marriage. And once you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that regard, then automatically you are at ease. But the minute you let go of taqwa, then you are only living in insecurity. And like I said, Mufti Saab, without mentioning names, but I had a top official also in a very high position working for the government that phone about a year and a half ago. And he confided and he was expressing his challenges. And accordingly we provided. But whoever phones with these issues, I only say one thing, that you need to bring Allah in your life. If you have taqwa, you won't have any problems. And Mufti Saab, cyber infidelity has made it so easy, so easy, so easy to get caught with the opposite gender. And Allah alone knows what is happening behind doors.
Your word of advice, your closing word on the topic?
Yes. Again, I will say, Mufti Saab, for the third time, that bring in the element of taqwa in your life, inshallah, and automatically you will safeguard your marriage, and automatically you will able to, inshallah, protect the union from all outside influences. And you will be tested, Mufti Saab. You will definitely be tested. You will definitely be tested. Somewhere along the line, you will definitely be tested. No one is excluded from there. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala used to say, كَيْفَ آمُنُوا عَلَى نَفْسِ وَإِبْلِيسُ وَحَيٌّ. How can I be assured with regards to myself when I know shaitan is alive? He's kicking. So, shaitan is alive. He is there. He's long in the game. How can I be assured of myself? So, if that is Abu Huraira's condition, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then imagine ourselves. It is really, really, really difficult. People who are caught in the situation of this, let's say a person was involved in affair, then number one, he needs to make tawbah. Number two, he needs to bring taqwa into his life. Number three, if possible, he needs to change his work environment. He needs to work in a different place. Because you'll change for a few days, but then what if it rekindles? What if that same spark comes up again? There's a problem again. So a lot of people have the relapses afterwards. So if possible, they need to change their workplace. Fourthly, we would say, allow your partner to suck out information. That's the only way they find comfort. You find many times the partner feels, why did you do this? What was inadequate? What was inadequate in me? So the opposite person was the perpetrator. He should allow room for things to patch up. And that can take up to 5, 6, 7, 8 months. Because every time you'll have those heart sore memories, and then you would want to know more and more. So the husband or the wife should be providing details. And lastly, don't throw it all away. Because sometimes there's children involved. And Mufti Saab, I dealt with about 3 or 4 cases like this. The husband and wife said, no, we want to break the marriage and finish, that's all. So I said to them, you've got 2 to 3 children involved. I know it's a heinous crime that your husband or the wife committed, but let's see if we can make tawbah and repent and try to mend things. They said, no, I'll never forgive him or I'll never forgive her. I performed at least 2 nikahs of such, where I was involved in the talaq process, and after that I even performed the nikah after 2 to 3 months. So they realize that despite all the blemishes and all the faults, at the end of the day, the union you had together was far more stronger than anyone else.
Subhanallah, yes. So those are important steps that need to be followed. Mulana, we appreciate your time in the studio, coming on the program. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward you abundantly.
Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.